This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
It looks like one of those scenes of an old building being purposely dynamited and blown.
When we are successful,
I'm just a patsy.
And we will be.
We're ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen up.
A new world order.
So my name's Robbie Parker.
It might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m.
Live from the Media Broadcasting Center.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal, where I'm very, very pleased to have as my special featured guest this evening, Brad Olson, who's a founder and producer of Hal Weird Street Fair in San Francisco, where he resides. He's got lots of books, very active. His own company, CCC Publishing, we're going to learn more about that, many of his books. Brad, welcome to The Real Deal.
Hey, James, it's great to be here and talk to you face to face.
Do call me Jim, Brad. We're very informal here. Tell us, how did you get into publishing? Tell us about the CCC Publishing. Is there a name behind the initials?
There is indeed. It's called the Consortium of Collective Consciousness, and it was sort of a tongue-in-cheek name that we had when I started a warehouse here in San Francisco 21 years ago. I had just come back from a three-year trip around the world and had met some fellow Americans in Goa, India, and we were listening to this this new kind of electronic dance music that was pretty unknown at the time. Now some of these DJs are as big as the rock stars. And so I started my publishing business there in 1995 and have grown it ever since. I've got about 18 books under my belt, nine of which are mine, and the other nine are other authors that I publish. And then so through our experience of doing parties in the CCC warehouse, it erupted out into the streets. And here's my shirt, How Weird Street Fair. From
Great.
Wearing it right now. And
Great.
We're going to have our 17th annual event in San Francisco on May 1st of this year. So that's coming up in a little more than 2.5 months. So I start to split my time and work on producing that event with my team. Starting right already, but I get the great opportunity of designing the posters every year, and we got another really funny one this year that'll be out on the Facebook page, the How Weird Street Fair Facebook page, in about a week or two, so people want to check
that
out.
That's super. Chance, do we have the first slide up yet or no? Because we've actually been talking about what's present there, about Brad's activities and so forth. We can go to the second, I think, Brad, and then you can just advance it just to let Chance know. Let's go to the slide number two, Chance.
So this is my book, Future Esoteric, The Unseen Realms, which came out in 2003, and it's actually completely sold out after three printings, and we're just at the printer right now with a second edition. So this one has been updated with new images, new information, a full edit, and will be out through my distributor, Independent Publishers Group, in March.
Tell us about the book.
So Future Esoteric is actually the second book in the Esoteric series. The first is called Modern Esoteric, and perhaps we can talk about that later as we get on. But Modern Esoteric is, if I were to give you the 30-second elevator pitch, is everything from the beginning, the dawn of humanity, who we really are, up to this modern age. Where Future Esoteric starts here in the modern age and goes into a lot of the problems that we see in the world today, the secret government, and also tackles the UFO issue and why this has been covered up, as well as how many of the most important technologies have been sequestered and also beaten down and not released to the public, one of which is free energy technology. We could be completely off of petroleum, gas, and even nuclear. We could have had this technology released decades ago, and all the pollution and degradation and oil spills could have completely been prevented. So this is the crux of future esoteric, what I call the alternative narrative, that there is what we see on the propaganda television, what they want us to think, and then there's the information that tells us there's a lot more to this. And I've always said people have a right to know. And this is why I release these books.
So I presume a lot of this isn't on Tesla technology and so forth, his innovations and proposals.
Absolutely. Tesla was the greatest genius of the last century, but he's been completely written out of the history books. And you'd think the guy didn't even exist if you were to go through high school and college these days and study science.
I take it he was even murdered by those who preferred that we be dependent on fossil fuels and other conventional forms of energy and technology.
Did you ever see this book that came out a couple years ago? It was purportedly the confessions of Otto Sikorsky, who is the real tall bodyguard of Adolf Hitler. Anyways, you'd think it was total fantasy, except that he includes photos. It's called the Bush Conspiracy, and Bush was really named, according to this guy and according to his source, Otto Sikorsky, that Bush was really a German agent, and he's in some pictures with...
Just for clarity, we're talking about George Herbert Walker Bush.
Correct, correct. His actual real name was...
Chef...
Chef, that's right. George Schreff. You've heard about this idea.
I've heard certain aspects of it. I haven't read the book. Perhaps I should. It sounds quite fascinating and may very well be true, all things considered.
Well, when you also consider that he became the youngest Navy pilot and he was the only survivor of a plane crash, according to this source, he dumped the plane at a certain area. He basically bailed out, but he made it so his co-pilots were not able to escape the plane. It crashed in the ocean right when a U-boat came with a crane to take that plane and keep it. And, of course, Bush Schreff escaped, became a decorated soldier, then later on became a CIA head chief there. And then
you're suggesting that taking the plane down was a deliberate contrivance to provide technology to the enemy.
To the Germans. That's right. This is all according to this book, The Bush Connection. And I bring it up because you mentioned that all is not as it seems and that Tesla may have been murdered, because in this book, the author claims, and his name, he goes by a synonym, Orion, claims that Otto Sikorsky, Hitler's personal bodyguard, who came over here with the paperclip Nazis, was there with the head of the German secret police on the Eastern Front, Galen. Him and Galen killed Tesla, according to this author, that they went in there with orders from Bush, who was spying on Tesla, and hence the name Curious George. The children's book is actually about George Bush Sr., who was always snooping around in Tesla's lab, and Tesla gave him the nickname. And his adopted father, Prescott Bush, worked with Tesla through the accounting department. So I'm trying to find some other verification on this, because I'd like to include some of this information in my third book in the esoteric series. The third book will come out in about 2 years, called Beyond Esoteric. But so far, even though there are references to the Schreff family, it's very hard to find anything that can't come out of this book. Now, if the book didn't have any photos, including pictures of George Herbert Walker Bush as a very young man wearing a German Navy suit, along with Galen, other paperclip Nazis that came over here, and others that disappeared, such as the infamous Nazi doctor who basically supposedly went down to South America.
Mengele?
The angel of death guy, the really nasty.
Yeah, Mengele.
And he became very obese, very fat, and he showed us him later on. And this book even delivers addresses where these guys live, mostly in Florida, and even sometimes phone numbers. It's really fascinating. I'm going to have to send it to you because...
Brad, I'd love to see it. Really extraordinary. Now, that even suggests that even George Herbert Walker Bush may not have been eligible to be president of the United States if he was not a natural-born citizen, which, as I understand it, requires that your father have been a citizen. Which is untrue of Barack Obama, untrue of Ted Cruz, and untrue of Marco Rubio, which makes me wonder, what the hell? We have all these candidates who don't even satisfy the simple requirements of the Constitution of being 35 years old, at least, of having lived in the U.S. at least 14 years and being natural born citizen.
Herein lies the problem, James. I mean, this is what we're dealing with, a totally hijacked constitutional system that's in full operation for the benefit of the elite. And
well, I'm very troubled because Barack Obama seems to want to give away the country. He quietly signed the TPP on the 4th of February without any announcement or fanfare. I haven't seen any report of it in any national publication, Brad. But if this goes through, the sovereignty of the United States no longer exists. We're going to be dominated by control of international corporation lawyers who can override any law or even the Constitution of the United States.
Well, it would seem we're living in a fascist world now, and this great country of ours has been hijacked by the moneyed interest in this country, and it's really a shame to see it, but we got to keep fighting the good fight, and I've always said the pen is mightier than the sword, so just waking people up and trying to educate them and let them know that there is this entire false narrative out there of how these people project themselves and project what they try to show as very important in the world. Now, I live here in San Francisco, Jim, and we just had the Super Bowl here yesterday, and I'll tell you, the local news media outlets, 24/7, that's all they talked about. This is just a football game.
Was it Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Did they talk about it being rigged so that the Broncos would win when the Carolina Panthers were overwhelmingly superior?
No, they didn't talk about that. And they didn't talk about
I got an expert on the NFL, Brad.
Are you?
He's been writing me for a year with the statistics, and there's no question about it that the NFL is rigged when they have big games, when there's a mountain of money on one team like the Panthers.
Yeah.
The Las Vegas guys call the shots and the, you know, I think that's the reason Cam Newton walked out of that press conference. He was disgusted that he was required to throw the game. That should have been a one-sided affair.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you said, there was a lot of money on it. Heavily favorite Carolina Panthers just went down with a whimper. It wasn't even really.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
With 2 minutes to go, they punt when they don't even try Hail Mary. They're only done by two touchdowns. Now, that's two touchdowns, but for God's sake, you don't cash in your chips early. It was ridiculous. The number of fumbles, you would have thought this was a couple high school teams. In fact, high school teams play better, more responsible football than those two. It was unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty much a joke.
And did you see the triple diagram, supposed to be the Doritos that look like a radiation warning sign up there in the sky?
I'm glad you brought that up because I did see it, absolutely. To me, it looked like the Beyonce and Jay-Z doing their Illuminati pyramid thing, which they've done at Super Bowls past at the halftime show. It was ridiculous. And the reason I say it was ridiculous, not only because they put them up in the sky and I saw people pointing, hey, look at that, what are the triangles? And it, like you said, it looked like the radiation symbol. But just that morning and the day before, the whole sky was filled with chemtrails. Nobody points those out.
Yeah.
Those are just,
I have someone chemtrail after another. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I was born in Pasadena and grew up in Southern California, Brad, and I've just been dismayed with what's happened to the Golden State.
Yeah, it seems like Jerry Brown wants some people to move out of here or something.
What happened to Jerry Brown? He used to be a good guy.
Our Governor Moonbeam.
He was even dating Linda Ronstadt.
Right, yeah. He's gone over to the dark side, I think.
And it would appear, I'm telling you. And it turned California into a gun-free zone. Yep. You know, one of the reasons my Sandy Hook book was banned, Brad, is because I got an appendix in there that shows when guns are banned, crime goes up.
Wow.
But, well, it could be more obvious if the criminals know no one else has got guns. Is that going to make them more subdued? Do you know that after San Bernardino, the White House was saying that these terrorist attacks will stop when the gun control laws are passed?
Right.
And Kurt Russell said, that's insane. Do they think the terrorists are going to stop if we ban guns? And I say, gee, I hadn't heard about the Organization of Terrorists for Gun Control.
Yeah. And just like after Sandy Hook, I mean, I saw it like you did within a day or two and posted on social media and people jumped all over me. Now, why would they do that? Well, they want to take our guns away. And then everybody says, no, that's never going to happen. Well, it's happening. And it
Brad,
is a moment.
Brad, just a month and 2 days later, on January 16th, 2013, he signed 26 gun control executive orders and new health measures for little kids, you know, that have never before required it.
Yeah.
I think what the White House was telling us after San Bernardino is that, yeah, the terrorist attacks will subside when we pass the gun control laws because we've been organizing them in order to pass the gun control laws. And once we pass them, we won't need them anymore.
Right. And then it's too late because you can't reverse it.
Yeah, so. I know. It's all absolutely unbelievable. And when we may be on the verge of a war with Russia, and if it happens and the neocons are pushing it, the first cities to be nuked are going to be Washington and New York. We're going to have no government. We're going to be in a Jericho-type scenario. And if communities can't defend themselves or be going to subject them to marauding gangs who want to rape and loot and pillage, this is when we should give up our guns?
It's the worst time of all.
It's idiotic. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think San Francisco is a wonderful city. I love San Francisco.
Yeah, and we're having a little bit of a heat wave here. It was beach weather today, in fact.
One of the favorite pictures ever taken of me, my wife took a picture of me near the tower where you can see the Oakland Bay Bridge in the background. That photograph has made it around a lot of places, but it's just a wonderful reminder of a wonderful time in San Francisco.
Well, we should get you out here again sometime.
Well, I'd love to do it. Tell us more. Should we go to Alice?
Let's go to Alice. So this is kind of my belief in bringing out these books. And I realize the information that I present here is not really for everyone. In fact, the nature of the word esoteric means it's information sought out by a select few. And that's who I'm going for. Just similar to your books, James, not everybody's going to understand the whole idea behind Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. Just the title alone is provocative enough. So all we can do is show them the door. They have to walk through it. They have to use the information that we provide to make their decision to understand this information. And the beautiful thing is, once you start seeing through a lot of these facade, once we pull the curtain like Alice is doing in this picture, and you start to realize this stuff, and you start to build your own knowledge base, there's no turning back. Take 9/11, for example. Once you know that that's an inside job, that these buildings, these three buildings falling at free fall speed could not have possibly happened by these two planes, if they even were planes, that once you realize that, it doesn't matter how many so-called experts get up there and tell you that the beams got weakened, or it doesn't matter what the media says anymore. This has become your power. And once you have it in your power, there is no turning back. And this is true. Once you open that curtain and step through there, then this is the decision you make. But this is, it's kind of like if you make that decision, I want to become a black belt in karate. You don't just walk into the studio and then the next day or week or even month or year, you're a black belt. You have to put in time and effort and physical exertion and years of time. But when you achieve that black belt, that becomes your power. And once you have that power, What you make of it is the person that you will become. And I think the same is true with collecting this kind of information. Once you enable yourself to become educated enough to talk on these subjects and hopefully wake people up around you, because this is what it's really going to take, then we can start seeing some movement. And I think the ground is already starting to move, that there is becoming this critical mass of Americans who realize that the corporations are taking over, the news is fake, the vaccines are not good for you, and the GMOs are going to kill us, and the chemtrails in the sky are poison. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and people are starting to see this. They're starting to wake up, not just because they think these are important things, but because they realize that this is going to adversely hurt them and their health and their family. So we have to wake up for the sake of not only protecting ourselves, but protecting our community, our loved ones, and then hopefully saving and salvaging this great country of ours.
Terrell's dad, Jesse, has a gift for making complex points in a simple way. For example, how can three buildings be brought down by two planes? And he observes that he has a camping stove that's made out of steel that burns propane at a higher temperature than kerosene, which is the principal constituent of jet engines, and yet it doesn't melt when he takes it out on a camping trip.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I mean, that's ridiculous.
So clearly physics is on our side. Anyone who studies science, didn't they teach that in school still, that steel melts at about 1,000 degrees more than kerosene burns?
Absolutely right.
Can clearly see that 9/11 was an inside job.
And I know right, laboratories that certified the steel used in the building to 2,000 degrees for 3 to 4 hours before it suffered any adverse effects. And yet the fire in the South Tower only burned for an hour, in the North an hour and a half. And according to NIST, they studied 236 samples of steel. 233 had not been exposed to temperatures above 500 degrees, and the other three not above 12. So those fires burn neither long enough nor hot enough to cause the steel to weaken, much less melt. It's all an absurdity.
It's all an absurdity. And Jim, a lot of people think 9/11 is the false flag that woke a lot of people up. You've written a book on Sandy Hook and the Boston bombings. But really, false flag attacks have a long history. They go all the way back to the pirates, and that's where the term comes from. The
pirates
try to get a ship close enough that they could board it or bomb it to loot the ship. They put up the flag of the British government. The Brits would see it with their binoculars come sailing up, and the pirates would attack it.
But they'd switch the flag first. When they attacked, they'd run up the skull and bones.
Right, right. And then they're like, oh, shit, we're screwed. But by then, it's too late. So this concept of faking out your enemy and doing something really nasty and then blaming it on the people that you want to place a blame, well, this actually goes back quite a ways. And I would like to pick your mind on it. I would say in this modern age, the earliest false flags would be the Titanic, which indirectly created the Federal Reserve. You know, J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on the Titanic, which basically switched. It was actually the Olympic. And there's a great video. If any of your
I've seen it. I know. But
they even show. You can see.
Yeah, I know. The Olympic. When they ripped away the nameplate, it said Olympic beneath it and the sunken ship beneath the water.
Yeah. And if you see some of the video of the little rover going down and filming it on the bottom, the metal is flaring out rather than flaring in, which would be the impact of an iceberg. Flaring out is an explosion. And the people who were most opposed to the creation of the Federal Reserve went down with the ship that day. And hour before the ship sailed, J.P. Morgan said, I'm not going. So what a way to get rid of all the opponents in one.
Just like Larry Silverstein decided not to have breakfast at Windows of the World on 9/11. And his daughter somehow had a distraction, too, who also worked in the North Tower with him.
And the social media site or Debka that tipped off Jewish people not to go to work that day.
they were largely
spared. Omega Messaging Service.
Yeah, the messaging service.
I had a little old lady from Brooklyn call me up and say how their rabbi had warned the members of the synagogue not to go into Lower Manhattan that day.
Yeah, so clearly premeditated, and the way that the airlines were shorted showed that some investors tried to make money off of it.
Do you know that Lee Hamilton and Thomas Keene said they had tracked back those shorts and discovered it was an entity that couldn't possibly have had anything to do with it because it was the CIA, Brad? I mean, these people obviously were unqualified to be running an investigation if they didn't know better than that. 9/11 was brought to us by the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, who'd come from Project for the New American Century, most of whom were dual U.S.-Israeli citizens and the Mossad.
Yeah. And of course, these people still have not been brought to justice. So when a lot of people criticize me or jump all over me for posting on Sandy Hook or the Boston bombing, my answer is quite simple. If you can see that 9/11 was an inside job, and most thinking people can, I just say, look, these people have not been brought to justice. The ones who did this are still out there. So what do you think? They're just going to stop and quit? No, yeah, they're getting ready right to watch them.
And they got a lock on the legal system, both in Connecticut vis-a-vis Sandy Hook and in New York vis-a-vis 9/11. It's a bad situation, Brad.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. But this situation has a long history. And I wanted to ask you, if we were to talk about creating a book about the history of false flags. And I had dinner with Richard Dolan, who does a lot of UFO stuff a few weeks ago. His next book is going to be on the history of false flags.
Yeah, it's good. Well, you can go back to the Maine because there's no evidence the Cubans had anything to do with it at all. And, of course, the Lusitania actually was carrying weapons in its hold and therefore was a legitimate target for the U-2. And, of course, Pearl Harbor was a setup. FDR knew it was coming. In fact, we provoked them by cutting off their access to oil in the South Pacific. There's a very, very good book, They Have Deceit, by Stennett, that's excellent on the background to Pearl Harbor. So those are some early indications. And, of course, in World War II, the Reichstag fire is usually cited as the classic example.
Right, and that was even brought up at the Nuremberg trials, that Goring had said that, we had to do it because we had to mobilize the German people.
So, right. And the explanation was given on that occasion that it's very easy to get the people to surrender their liberty by suggesting to them they're being threatened by an outside enemy, and they'll gladly surrender their liberty for a false sense of greater security.
And, of course, we know now that the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the Vietnam War, was totally false.
Lyndon actually said at one time, for all he knew, they were shooting at whales out there. But, you know, he was obviously deeply involved. And of course, the USS Liberty, I'm sure you're well familiar with, where Lyndon actually called back the American fighters that were going to the defense of the Liberty.
So I guess my point in this, and we can pull up the next slide here, is what is the common denominator of all these false flags leading all the way up to this modern age and the latest one, San Bernardino? Every one of them has an ulterior motive. Every one of them motivates the American people, just like the German people after the Reichstag fire, to get behind their government, to get behind this idea that we have this enemy. But the nature of a false flag is it's the red pill. And it's what they're trying to tell us is the real reality in this. And if we believe the media and everything that they have to tell us about it, we're just going to be sheep going to the slaughter, because ultimately the end game is with us. They will definitely make this a ploy to either get us into FEMA camps, to poison us, to get us to die early. They do not want Americans to prosper like they once did.
And what are we doing with 300 FEMA camps all over the country, Brad? Or what did DHS accumulate 2 billion rounds of 40 caliber hollow point? not even permissible for combat under the Hague Convention of 1899. Therefore, it must be for domestic consumption. That's more than, what, 5 rounds for every man, woman, and child in the United States.
We're getting to the point where these kind of conversations and this kind of information may not be available in the near future. And it's my hope that people do understand this. And this is why we have this picture from the movie The Matrix up, because Neo was confronted with an opportunity to understand this alternative narrative, or he could have taken the blue pill and just gone right back to sleep, turned on the television, been entertained, watched his football games and everything else. But people need to understand that this does and will affect their lives. I mean, we're very close to the age where we could have a Cyprus-style bail-in, where there will be some kind of bank emergency on a Friday, and like Cyprus, the banks will stay closed for a week and a half. When you finally have access to your funds again, you get an automatic haircut. I don't know about
you. You're so right about this. That, you know, these bail-ins are simply unreal. You know, I mean, the banks are too big to fail. Give me a break. And it looks like we're on the verge of going through another cycle with these trillions in derivatives. You may have seen The Big Short. I think that was giving us, you know, what happened in 2008 is going to happen again in 2016. I think it's right around the corner.
It is right around the corner, and it's going to be much bigger this time.
Catastrophic.
And if people aren't prepared either with having some kind of real wealth, such as gold or silver, or stocking up on some food, we could have a very rude awakening. And as you said earlier in the show, let's say there's a fake terror attack, you know, ISIS is coming over the border, Jim. What are we going to do? They're going to take out the grid. Power's going to go down. Then what?
It's insane, Brad. Do you know in San Bernardino we even have the Craigslist ad for the extras?
Oh, the crisis actors.
And this ISIS thing is absurd. We created ISIS. Judicial Watch obtained the documents from the Defense Intelligence Agency for 2012, creating it. We have photos of ISIS members sporting U.S. Army tattoos. You know, the files were hacked from an aide to Senator John McCain showing the filming of the beheading videos on a soundstage in Tel Aviv or even Hollywood. The Iraqi army about a year ago shot down 2 UK cargo planes delivering supplies to ISIS. And a week later, the Iraqi Popular Forces shot down an American helicopter. I mean, this is such a disgrace.
Right.
The Russians have come in there. The Russians conducted like 900 airstrikes in 3 days here last week, Brad. They just annihilated them.
Good. Well, they had it coming.
Oh, I know. So now Saudi Arabia and Turkey are talking about invading Syria on the pretext of going after ISIS, but actually to try to undermine Assad. I'll tell you, if you want to see World War III break out, there it is right there, a scenario before our very eyes.
In my capacity as a book publisher, I'm currently editing Leo Lyon-Zaghami's book called Confessions of an Illuminati, Volume 2, and his information is saying that this is a big lead up to 2020. And he basically has some information about Albert Pike, who in the 19th century predicted all three world wars to a T. World War One was going to be this way to get rid of the czars of Russia and to implement communism. World War Two was going to play off the atheists of communists against the Christians and create the Zionist state. World War III is going to be in the Middle East, and it's going to be the Christians and the Muslims fighting each other off, including wiping out Israel to create this greater Israel. Jim, this was predicted 150 years ago by this Illuminati kingpin named Albert Pike, who actually has a statue in Washington, D.C. He's one of these Freemason guys who is secret society dude. I mean, the Illuminati is real. They run this secret government, and it's all about money, power, and military might. Well, finally, Putin is standing up to them. They've created the BRICS Alliance. They've started the new bank in China. So, thank goodness.
Investment, yes, absolutely.
Somebody is finally standing up to these guys. But
you know, Brad, it's ironic. It became obvious some time back that the world would be better off if the United States were to collapse. I mean, it's just tragic because we have in our history been by and large a force for good. But since 9/11 especially, it's been precisely the opposite.
It has. And unfortunately, we as Americans, as civilians, could very well get caught in the crossfire here and could be caught in some kind of staged terror attack that is actually the whole country, such as the banks closing for 2 weeks and nobody having access to their ATM. The only
there's going to be some weird Department of Defense drill.
Yeah.
You know, about shutting down all communication, cell phones, telephones and all that to see what happens with those who have ham radios. And Brad, I think they're targeting the ham radio operators, see what happens when they shut off our access to communication so they can further clamp down. This is not for a good reason. This is sinister. It's like Jade Helm. Yep. They want to see how they could do in communities for potential snatch and grabs and all that without, you know, creating too much public concern. I mean, it was a beta, a prototype, a test. And anyone who doesn't understand that is just missing the bit. The military does not practice for activities it's not planning to undertake.
Yeah. Speaking of baiting us in a beta dry run, about 2 years ago, a very peculiar thing happened here in the Bay Area. Down in San Jose, there was a big power generator that Homeland Security and some other forces blew up, and the power went out in San Jose, and it was this big hubbub. It was even in the New York Times. My friend David Hatcher Childress is out here visiting me about 2 months ago. We had dinner, and he was saying, yeah, like I read about this story in the New York Times that Homeland Security did this simulated drill where they took out one of the biggest generators, power stations in the South Bay here. And I remember it, and it was a big deal because people lost their power, and they said, oh, well, it's just a drill. But like you just mentioned, Jim, they don't do these things unless they have a plan in mind. And
I think when they
go for it, they're going to hit us hard, and they're going to hit us from every different angle. So what would your life be if the power went out for, say, a week? How about a month? How about several months? How would you be without access to any of your funds? These are realities that we have to take seriously. I mean, we don't want them to happen, but we have to understand we could be very well in the crosshairs of this thing.
And this is a reflection of the greater vulnerabilities of a technologically dependent society. You know, we have so much stuff that's computerized, and you had an EMF that took out all the electronics. I mean, you know, we're virtually helpless. I mean, it's a very, very bad situation to be in. And when you have an enemy within the gate, you know, when we have these people in Homeland Security who are not working to defend the American people, but to enslave us, I mean, it's a desperate situation we're in.
Yeah, it's not the barbarians are at the gate anymore. The barbarians are already inside the gate.
That's right.
And they're getting
the evildoers are here.
And let's face it, I watch the financial business and gold and silver going up this week as the stock market goes down. It's funny how these two kind of work in conjunction. But we remember all the scandals in the financial market all the way back to 2008. Nobody's gone to jail. It's kind of like 9/11. Nobody's gone to jail there either.
Yes.
The whole story. We had the LIBOR scandal, where we know for sure that they're manipulating gold and silver prices. And we also know that they've done other things with the stock market and the big banks to manipulate currencies. So when's it going to end?
I think part of the great enthusiasm for candidates like Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump is that they are authentic. and they seem to have a genuine interest in the well-being of the American people, which the other candidates virtually in their entirety do not exhibit.
No, they don't. But these two are not establishment candidates. And I have to believe that the establishment is going to do everything in their power to either discredit, or if, say, Trump and or Bernie start to gain momentum, I hate to fear for their lives, but if that's the worst case scenario, that, well, we saw what happened to Kennedy when he challenged them.
Brad, I share those concerns, but I believe they've already taken hold. I believe that we're feeling the burn. Trump is making a tremendous impact. He's shaking up the establishment because they can't control him.
Right.
Some of these other candidates are so seriously compromised. Ted Cruz's wife actually works for Goldman Sachs, believe it or not. And this Cruz kid appears to have had a history as a gay hustler in Miami. That's unreal. Brad, that's a lot out there about it.
I think you mean Rubio.
Rubio, yeah.
They showed some pictures of him, yeah. Well, this is what I'm learning through Leo Zagami's books, is that this gay pedophilia thing, it's not just the Catholic Church. This goes really deep, and this is what we found out through Jimmy Savile at the BBC.
Yes. Yes.
That this pervert operation goes to the highest level.
Brad, I cannot begin to understand, you know, why any adult male would be interested in sex with a child. To me, that is just utterly meaningless. I mean, it's not just grotesque. It's not just immoral. I can't understand the motivation.
Well, these are the kind of sick minds that have risen to the top. And I have a chapter in Future Esoteric about this threat of a dystopian world. And I profile a sociopath. And a sociopath is attracted to power. And they're attracted to power at no cost to anyone. Now, the actual definition of a sociopath is they have no compassion, no care for anyone else. All they want is power. They're willing to fight their way to the top. And once they do, they are only concerned with holding power. Well, it also turns out that a lot of these sociopaths are sicko in the head, not only for this inability to become compassionate to others, but also for their predilection for having sex with children. As you said, it's the most repulsive thing I've ever heard of as well. But they not only do it, and this guy Jimmy Savile in the UK would go to orphanages and pry upon these young and vulnerable children and then take them out of there and bring them to sex parties and pawn them off, prostitute them out to the highest in power. Members of Parliament, as well as the brother of Prince Charles himself. There are photos of him with an underage minor. And this is the kind of depravity of these people in the secret government that we're dealing with.
And many of them were permanently disposed of thereafter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you speak out, you're pretty much dead.
But I mean, these kids, you know.
Oh, yeah, I think that's what I mean. Yeah, the kids who speak out, you're dead. There was the guy Epstein in this country, and he was also tied to the royal family, also to Bill Clinton, who's another one of these fellas who has had perhaps thousands of women.
Brad, I couldn't believe Bill Clinton was out there. They were showing him on TV this evening campaigning for Hillary and saying how, you know, all the women need to be campaigning, supporting Hillary, when he has such a disgusting history with women. Roger Stone has a brilliant book about this, the Clinton's War Against Women, and it's not because Hillary isn't standing up for women's reproductive rights, but that she's gone after and attacked all the women who are complaining about abuse from her husband. I mean, it's bizarre.
It's really bizarre.
I think it's going to backfire him on the way, by the way. I think all this hard sell from Hillary and Bill is going to backfire big time tomorrow in New Hampshire. Big, big time.
Yeah, yeah. And it should. It absolutely should. But I have to be afraid for Bernie in a way, because he will have, I mean, he's already said he's going to go up against big, big banks and some of the main interests in this country. And hey, these are the people who have control of the assassination squads.
Yeah, of course they do.
Look what happened to Breitbart. He was going to make the bombshell. His big mistake was he said, I have something on Obama, probably either him being gay or him being born in a foreign country. He made the mistake of saying it the day before he died. I'm going to drop a bombshell tomorrow.
You say it first. You say it first. You get it out into the public domain. I have no doubt Obama was born in Kenya. You know, I had a two-hour guest on when I just had the radio show, and we went through his Hawaiian birth certificate. It was obviously fraudulent. Then it turned out they had a second Kenyan birth certificate that was also fake. So they could say, oh, yeah, we've seen that Kenyan birth certificate. It was a fraud. But there's a real one with a footprint on it, I'm convinced. And then he goes to Indonesia, and he's raised as a Muslim. He comes to the United States on scholarships are only available to foreign students. So the first act as president is to seal his educational records when every little kid in the country wants to study the history of the first black president of the United States.
Yeah, a lot of skeletons in that closet, Jim. And that one's only going to continue to unravel as time goes on.
Well, I thought it was very funny when he was, you know, giving a fake tear over Sandy Hook.
Right.
And talked about, you know, the problems with gun violence. And in Chicago, when Chicago has like the most severe gun control laws in the country, but their crime rate is just skyrocketing.
Right.
By the way, it's absurd.
That's an old actor's trick. You put a little salve on your fingertip.
Yeah.
You put it on your eye first to make it tear.
Yeah, it was completely fraudulent.
Totally.
And Brad, over the last 20 years, gun violence has dramatically dropped. Between 1993 and 2014, it dropped by over 50% for deaths from gun violence. And for injuries for gun violence over the same 20 years, it more than dropped by more than 75%. I mean, the records are completely the opposite of what we're told by our president of the United States, a.k.a. the liar in chief.
Yeah. We've been sold down the river, Jim. I don't see any other way to put it. That
your next slide bears on this, Brad, because you're talking about ignorance being a choice.
Right. And this is our choice to make. It's in this age of information, we know that the internet is like the new Library of Alexandria. We have the option to look up anything we want. We can find any course of information that we find interesting. Unfortunately, a lot of people are into the trivial. What are the Kardashians up to? What did my sports team do? Meaningless stats. I had a great slide the other day that was the George Orwell quote. I put it up on Super Bowl Sunday yesterday that the people's horizons were filled with football and drinking beer and gambling, and that to control them was not difficult. This is so clear to me that all these distractions are there for a reason, and that is to keep us from really digging deep, from really finding out what's really important and making a stand and waking up and informing other people over it.
I love your mention of the Library at Alexandria, because it's one-time head Eratosthenes actually demonstrated in 240 BC that Earth was round and estimated its circumference very close to accurate, approximately 25,000 miles. And yet we have this wave of insanity about the Earth being flat, Brad. Have you run into this?
Oh, it's the great distraction. I think it's so ridiculous, and I abhor anyone who basically purports that concept. It's just such a waste of time. I think it's out there to
I earned my PhD in the history and the philosophy of science. The history of science is dominated by the history of physics and astronomy. It was over thousands of years we emancipated ourselves to understand why the day takes 24 hours because Earth is rotating on its axis, that the months are measured by the moon circling the Earth, and the year by the Earth making its orbit around the sun. This flat Earth stuff is bizarre.
It's bizarre. And how come all the other planets are round?
I know. Every other body in the universe is round except Earth.
But we're flat. I tell you, Jim, in my younger years, I did a 3-year trip around the world. I went in one direction. Guess what? I ended up in the same place.
Yes.
So how could that happen if the world was flat?
So did a guy named Lundberg at one point in time. Lindbergh. So,
you and I, we talk about things that a lot of other Americans would call controversial. And a lot of people say that, well, you got to have your BS meter up. And that's true. Like the flat Earth, we both dismiss that as total BS. This is where this slide is really important, because ignorance is a choice. You can see the chemtrails flying over your head and just say, it's just contrails. I don't believe it, even though there are tests that prove that we're being sprayed. The list goes on. There has to be a point where each one of us needs to discern what is real and what is not. And this is where critical thinking comes so much into play. And this is where I think our educational system is really failing us, that we're not producing the critical thinkers that we did in the 50s and the 60s and 70s when you and I grew up. That now this Common Core and all these standardized testing, it's just based on rote memory and getting people to just, here's the information we're giving you. This is what we're going to test you on, and memorize it. It's not comparing apples and oranges anymore. And that's what we really need. We need more critical thinkers.
Well, I spent 35 years offering courses in logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning. And I have perceived a dumbing down of America. And I think it's got a great deal to do with television, which is, you know, operates at a lower level of mental activity than when you're in deep sleep. It has something to do with the fluoridization of our water. It has something to do now with these chemtrails. I mean, we're being polluted into a state of mental vacuity, Brad. It's stunning, but it's taking place before our very eyes.
That's right. And let's face it, an ignorant and an uneducated welfare class of people who is dependent on the government for handouts that can't even control their own destiny anymore, well, that's sheep being led to the slaughterhouse. Those are the kind of Americans who will not resist, who will not even put up a fight. And I can only hope that more people that have the capacity of critical thinking can wake up and try to help the other people they know around them do the same.
I think your next slide is highly relevant here, Brad, because it seems to me the media, even our most distinguished newspapers, are so totally dominated by the government and the CIA. Would you believe the New York Times has published propaganda and disinformation about Sandy Hook? So too has the Washington Post. It broke my heart, but the Chronicle of Higher Education, of all things, published an absolutely ridiculous, totally indefensible, riddled with falsehoods and stupidity attack on James Tracy, a professor at Florida Atlantic, who's been dismissed, the real reason being because of his research on Sandy Hook was upsetting many in the community in South Florida, but where they claimed he simply hadn't filed forms about his outside activities in time. Brad, in 35 years, I never heard of a tenured professor being dismissed for not filing forms on time. You might be called into the dean and told you got to do better. You might get a rap across the knuckles with a ruler. You might have a letter put in your file to dismiss a tenured professor for not filing forms on time. That is absurd.
It is absurd. And the people who profess the truth are also the ones being persecuted the most. And this is the state of affairs we're in today. Jim, I had a opportunity to work down at the Super Bowl for the NFL. I thought I'd be able to get into the stadium. I'd never seen a Super Bowl game. Jim, I've never had a felony in my life. I haven't even had a moving traffic violation since I was in college. I've got the cleanest record imaginable. I got word the day before I was supposed to go down there on Saturday that they wouldn't have me. They wouldn't have me for undisclosed reason.
And undisclosed reason having some relationship to the truth frequency of your utterances, that you have too high a truth frequency rating. Your truth quotient is astronomical, Brad.
That's it.
Persona non grata in many areas of the United States today under governmental control.
So to me, it was good riddance, but I feel for this professor in Florida and others who have been persecuted for their viewpoint. And to the slide about how the media manipulates our viewpoint, I have a chapter in Future Esoteric called Media Manipulation. And at first, I outline how at one time we had a free press. And of course, the First Amendment guarantees our freedom of speech and a free press. And as JFK said in one of his speeches, that it's the only industry that has protection in the Constitution.
And yes, that is the press.
The press. Well, they found a workaround, and that is they just bought them all. They consolidated all the media into six companies now. Six companies own almost 100% of all the outlets.
They got rid of the fairness doctrine, the 777 rule. Now you can have one company own 1,000 radio stations like Clear Channel.
Yep. And so this is how they got around it. And this is what people can't really wrap their minds around. Because when you watch the news, they give you a small dose of exactly what is true, what is real. Well, they're going to report on the Super Bowl, even though we know it was rigged. But they'll make it seem like, hey, this is what happened. This is how the game went down. Of course, games are perfect fodder because they're not talking about ISIS ever being sponsored by the U.S. government. I've never seen that one time in any of the propaganda news media organizations. They won't go that way. Just in the same way as we said at the top of the show, they won't talk about TPP being signed when everybody was
One of my most recent articles is entitled How We Know ISIS Was Made in the USA, which was published by Iran Review.
Exactly. And why isn't this information being populated on the news media channels? And to me, I watch the news just to see how utterly ridiculous it is, and also to understand the mechanizations of propaganda and how they are able to control the message. And like this slide shows, there are three ways you can look at the same picture. One looks like there's an aggressor on the left. The other one looks like somebody's taking sympathy, but in reality, it's kind of something entirely different. And this is the great distraction that the media is able to portray on us. It's like the magician's trick. But once you see how the magician pulls the rabbit out of his sleeve, you'll never be able to see that trick again in the same way, because you know how they do it. The media is the same way. It's like the Wizard of Oz behind the screen, and Toto pulls the curtain, and the wizard said, "Don't look at that man behind the curtain." Well, at that point, the gig is up. And at this point, the gig is up with the media. And it's just laughable at this time to watch the propaganda that they put out. Now they're saying, well, we got to go into Syria to save all these refugees because they're flowing into Turkey. And we're so compassionate about these refugees. We just got to go and save them. So we got to put boots on the ground and do that. I mean, the narrative has just become so ridiculous now.
Brad, it's so great having you here. I'm simply delighted. Before we go to the break, I just want to point out an exaggeration. I remarked that Obama signed 26 gun control executive orders on the 16th of January, 2013. The actual number was 23. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal. It's my special guest, Brad Olson. We'll be right back.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving, and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information, If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Less than 3% of you people read books, because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. Television is not the truth. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds.
Broadcasting live on network radio.
So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off and leave them off.
Say with moral certainty and considerable scientific authority that the death of JFK was committed by a meticulously executed conspiracy which was obscured by an extensive cover-up. Murder in Dealey Plaza, edited by James Fetzer, goes to the heart of the JFK assassination. You'll read new and up-to-date information regarding the Secret Service, the Lincoln limousine, the medical evidence, the cover-up, altering the film, framing the patsy, and the silent historians. Also, 16 smoking guns, each one crushing the government's lone assassin scenario. A world-class chronology of November 22nd, 1963. Chapters by David W. Mantic, Gary Aguilar, Vincent Palomara, Douglas Weldon, Jack White, Ira David Wood III, James H. Fetzer, Doug Horn, and a classic essay by Bertrand Russell. The complete story in the pages of one single book, edited by James H. Fetzer. Read it now. Read it again. You'll use it as a reference. Murder in Dealey Plaza. Available at Amazon.com and major bookstores around the world. It's murder.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
It looks like one of those scenes of an old building being purposely dynamited and blown.
When we are successful,
I'm just a patsy.
And we will be.
You ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen in.
A new world order.
So my name's Robbie Parker.
It might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m.
Live from the Media Broadcasting Center.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal, continuing my conversation with Brad Olson. Brad, I can't say how much I'm enjoying having you here. This is terrific.
Well, you know, the first hour went by so quick, Jim, because we're just having such a great conversation, and I look forward to the second hour.
Well, we seem to be very much on the same frequency.
Absolutely. You're a legend in my mind. I look at this as a great honor to have the opportunity to talk to you. I've been following your work for a long time, ever since you were with Veterans Today and working with Barrett over at Press TV. Yeah. So on and so forth.
Yeah. You know, I've had partings of the ways with some very interesting people and situations. Brad, let's take a look at your next slide about Operation Paperclip, because most Americans, even today, don't understand its importance.
And that's right. We need to understand the importance, because this is really what spawned the secret government in this country. We used to have a lot of transparency that no longer exists. And the reason is because after World War II, we were in competition with the Soviets, and it became an arms race, it became a technology race, and it became who can collect the most Nazi scientists. And Russia got some, but we got the most. And at the time, the decision was made under Truman that we were going to have these rocket scientists come over here, and they started NASA under Operation Paperclip. But it goes a lot deeper. It also goes into those individuals who helped start the CIA, like Reinhard Gehlen, who I mentioned earlier as being a possible suspect in killing Tesla himself. And these guys were known to work together. I'm good friends with Joseph Farrell, and he writes books about the Nazi infestation in this country. And he has told me that on many occasions there was dossiers being passed between them. They would speak in silent tones in German amongst themselves. And just recently, in the last year or two, it has been declassified on the CIA website itself that Hitler did not die in the bunkers. Hitler escaped to South America, as well as Martin Bormann, who is his money man, was never brought to justice, even though he was tried in absentium at the Nuremberg trials and actually sentenced to death, but they never caught him. Now think about it. If the money left Germany and the scientists came here and they kept in contact, we have the Fourth Reich in America that has emerged. And this is the problem we see in the country today. I mean, we're so quick to criticize the Third Reich and Nazi Germany for their oppressive fascist regime. Well, guess what? It's deja vu all over again. In fact,
yeah, Yogi got it right. And he was talking about today and fascism in America. It is stunning, but that's what's going on. And it's not that difficult to discern if you're paying attention, Brad. I think there are just so many distractions, and the media is doing nothing to inform us about the realities behind the illusion.
Well, the media is owned by these guys, so why are they going to inform us about what they're up to?
Yes.
And herein lies the problem, Jim. Herein lies the problem, because we have the Fourth Reich in North America. There's really no better way of putting it, because that's what it is. They started the CIA. They started NASA, which is never a straight answer. And we're going to talk more about some of the sequestered technologies and even some of the UFOs that have been recovered. And I've actually just gotten the great honor of being invited as a speaker down to Contact in the Desert in early June with all the greatest names in UFO studies. So I'm quite honored to have the opportunity to give this presentation, this future esoteric presentation. So if anybody's heading out for that, I hope you'd come and see my
That's terrific, Brad. Congratulations. That ought to be super.
It ought to be. And it's along these lines. It's the history that they don't want us to know about. It's basically how academics, historians, the mass media have all been bought and paid for, has all been hijacked. And it comes back to these paperclip Nazis. Because
well, you know the story about Bill Clinton when he entered the presidency had two burning questions. Who killed JFK? And what about aliens and UFOs? And he was told in response to both they were above his security level.
Right. So if the president can't get to the bottom of these things, then who can? And more importantly, who has control over this stuff? Because this is really important technology, for better or for worse, because some of it can destroy the planet at this point, but some of it could free us from fossil fuels, could introduce free energy technology that would put the oil companies out of business. Well,
yes.
They don't want to go out of business. You know, corporations, Jim, are kind of like a living organism. They have in their best interest the will to survive. And what they will do to survive is take out their competitors. And this is what John D. Rockefeller did so brilliantly in the 19th century. He just wiped out the competition and consolidated the oil business. Well, Rockefeller was actually a sympathizer to these to the Third Reich and yes. had factories over there as well. He had very vested interests in preserving some of the industry in Germany, as well as supporting some of these scientists who came over here. Now, he started the Rockefeller Foundation, which I found out when I was researching Future Esoteric, did a complete edit on what the Nazis knew that is pertaining to UFOs, and they had several crash recoveries, as well as some psychics from the Vril Society who were getting information telepathically downloaded that they could actually put pen to paper and come up with some designs. And the Rockefeller Foundation put the kibosh on that. They shut it down. They changed history. They did not want us to know that the Third Reich had this advanced technology. They also didn't want us to know that the Third Reich was the first government in history to start a program to employ psychics. It was called the Anna Nurby Society, to look on the other side. Governments don't do that today. They've never done it in the past, but they did it in the Third Reich. They were very interested in the occult. They were very interested in information that they got out of Thailand. You know, the book or the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they're digging up archaeological sites, that's very much true. They were very interested in finding these relics. The most important one was the Sword of Destiny. And Hitler believed if they found the Roman sword that pierced Jesus Christ on the cross, that no army could defeat them. And apparently they had what they thought was the Sword of Destiny, but they were defeated, so maybe they had a...
Well, I love the theme here on this slide. The Nazis didn't lose. They moved to America.
That's right. That's right. And this is where most people in this country just don't have any idea. Even though these guys on the screen are long gone, they're dead by now, it was the philosophy that they inflicted upon the departments here, most especially the CIA, which we know is completely out of control.
Yeah, and then 9/11 overhauling the government to create the Department of Homeland Security, modeled after the East German Stasi, Brad. I mean, that was truly catastrophic for the country and its future.
You know, one of these paperclip Nazis, Reinhard Gehlen, I mentioned, he should have been in Nuremberg. He committed war.
Yeah.
Wernher von Braun had a fleet of slaves working underground under horrific conditions. He should have been in Nuremberg. They came over here with great honors to help America beat the Soviets. And this was one of the worst wrong turns that's ever been made in this country, and we're still feeling the effects of it today.
Brad, your next slide pertains to the harp that angels don't play.
That's right. Well, and this does bring us to the modern age, because harp and there are several of these towers. This one is in Alaska, the most famous one. There are actually others in Alaska as well, and there's others around the world. Basically what these are, and this is Tesla technology as well, these are heaters. These are microwave heaters that basically can project a point in the sky and heat it up. And it's quite simple when you think about it. If these things were pushing up here and creating a big high pressure bubble, well, the weather around it would move. This is the basis of geoengineering. This is one of the tools, along with chemtrails, that are being employed to weaponize the weather. Okay.
Right. If you have planes dumping small particles of barium, aluminum, and strontium, and you can heat them up, you can create high pressure areas that move around low pressure areas and create artificial drought, such as Southern California has been enduring for over a year now.
That's right. Remember during the 2008 Olympics in China? I remember it was front page headlines because it rains a lot in China in the summertime. They said it will not rain on our Olympics, and it didn't. You know why? Because the headline says we're going to control the weather. We're going to geoengineer and chemtrail the skies and move it away. So that this technology cuts in both directions. It can make it rain in the desert, like we've seen these freak storms in Saudi Arabia where it never rains, or even up on the Altiplano in Chile, one of the driest locations in the world, is having flooding. Or places that it should rain, they can cut it off. The Air Force came out with a report about a decade ago, maybe a little longer, called Controlling the Weather by 2025. Well, that's only 9 years away, Jim. They want to completely control the weather around the world.
Well, I think they're ahead of schedule, Brad, actually, on that one. I think they're ahead of schedule.
They are. But yeah. This is playing God.
It is. And it has evolutionary ramifications. I mean, it's a very complex business, evolution. There's, a wonder to the miracle of the emergence of life on Earth to begin with. And it seems to me we're taking measures that can irreparably alter the potential for life to persist.
And they're calling geoengineering a, quote, experiment. Well, experiments sometimes go wrong. Experiments mean we don't know the outcome. And to do this on a global level and move weather systems around, this is probably the first form.
The nuclear energy plants in Japan was an experiment, too. You think of all the countries in the world that would not resort to nuclear energy, it would be Japan. And then now we are confronting what may be the greatest environmental catastrophe in history, and it threatens still to be an extinction-level event.
Right. So when are we going to wake up and learn that technology does not always work out for the best?
They're talking about building more nuclear plants right here in Wisconsin, Brad. It's insane, absolutely lunatic. Right. And there's great fear that in Ukraine, where we engineered this coup, that there's been a failure to maintain the nuclear plants there, and there's potential catastrophe going to occur in Ukraine. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend once from the Ukraine who grew up in Kiev, and she said there's quite a few birth defects from Chernobyl that continue on today. So we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg from Fukushima. This is going to be something that is going to affect the Japanese people. It's already affecting the Pacific here. We're having species die-offs by starfish, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And the coral. And you're getting down to such a low level in the food chain, Brad. And as well known to students of biology, once you cut off one level of the food chain, all higher species are destined for extinction.
And guess what? We're at the top of the food chain, Jim. So it's probably not looking good for the human race in the long term if we continue with this madness.
I got to say, your next slide is the one that has most intrigued me. I can't wait for you to discourse about it.
Sure. Well, this is when we get into, in the book Future Esoteric, it's a section I called Cosmos. and it basically concerns itself with, the first section is called Secrets. So we set up the precipice for the creation of a secret government in this country that is hoarding technology, that is using it in nefarious ways like we saw in the HARP slide and many other examples. And then we're also talking about some aerospace technologies. And this is a picture of not a alien craft, but an alien reproductive vehicle is the way the military calls it. And this is based on backward engineered technology that really goes all the way back to the Third Reich. They had several crafts, one very famous one in the Black Forest in the 1930s. Mussolini had one in Italy. He allowed Nazi scientists to come and extract it. So this is really what the secret government has been most concerned with for the last 70 plus years. And that
so, Brad, are you telling me that this is a real craft? This is not just a futuristic image. This is a real photograph of a real craft?
It's my understanding this is a real photo. And this is based on the flying triangles, the black triangles. These are very much human-made crafts. There was a major sighting in Belgium about 15 years ago. You may have heard of the Phoenix Lights, a giant, big one, like a mothership craft that silently went over Phoenix, was carrying on to the north. People saw it all the way up to Flagstaff, and then it made a left turn right towards Area 51.
Yeah.
And this is where these crafts are being tested. And until just a few years ago, there was a place called the Freedom Ridge outside the town of Rachel, Nevada, where a lot of UFO researchers could go and spy on Area 51. And they would even know the timetables when these crafts were being tested.
So, Brad, my producer knows a lot about a lot of subjects. I want to ask Chance, does this look, have you run across this photo or one like it before? Does this look authentic to you or fake?
Well, I definitely have been paying attention to a lot of the UFO community, and a lot of the stuff that I like to kind of be able to verify as authentic is if you look at Dr. Stephen Greer's work and the Disclosure Project and those types of things. Some of the pictures, I have a hard time. I'd have to literally run it by my wife, who's a photo expert, to be able to see if there's any Photoshop or anything like that. So something like this, you know, it's a matter of actually being able to investigate. I just haven't had
Yeah. It's certainly intriguing. Thanks, Chance. Thanks for that. Brad, I'm just so pleased to have you on here. We're talking about so many fascinating subjects. I'm really enjoying this thoroughly.
Oh, thank you. Well, I had the great opportunity of having lunch with Dr. Greer about 15 years ago, and he's a great guy, and I'm a big supporter of the Disclosure Project. The way I present these images, let's even assume that it is Photoshop. The point is, what I'm trying to do here is show that there are these very advanced crafts, okay? I can't prove that this is absolutely 100%. I'm not sure. Yeah, I think Dr. Greer probably could. But what I can say is they have these free energy propulsion anti-gravity crafts that have been backward engineered, and this has been going on for decades. Of course they have very advanced technology. So think of this slide as just an example of what it could be. If it's not authentic.
I certainly accept that. Yes, I would have my doubts about the authenticity of the photo itself, but I agree with you that it represents a certain way things may very well be, even in fact. I'm also fascinated by your next about the underground tunnels and the like. Number 10, yeah.
And once again, we're talking about all the way back to the Third Reich. This is an image, a friend of mine in the Czech Republic who worked for the, what would be called the Secret Service in our country, but in the EU. He gave me, quite a few images that I've used, in future esoteric. This being one of them, which is one of the, underground bases. Well, in this case, under the ice bases in Antarctica. The head of the Navy of the Third Reich, his name was Admiral Dönitz. He said in a very controversial quote that we have created the ultimate citadel for the Führer that will continue the Third Reich. Now, there's a great disparity of what really happened at the end of World War II. And the disparity is what happened to all the U-boats. And over 100 of these submarine U-boats of the Nazis just went missing. In fact, months after the war, some of them turned up in Terra del Fuego in South America with some crews that obviously missed the mark and couldn't get down here to base 322. I was just down in Los Angeles a month ago taping some new episodes of Ancient Aliens. And also on the set that day was Dr. Michael Sala. And I got to have lunch with him. He's a great guy. And he was also speaking about base 322 or New Berlin, as this image is in Antarctica, at a place the Nazis called New Schwabenland. The U-boats were actually able to find a way in under the ice to a place called the Schumacher Ponds. And I'm going to elaborate more on this in my third book, Beyond Esoteric, because it's so very important. This is where all the high technology went after the Third Reich collapsed, including the Bell, the Hanuman, and the Vril technology that they were developing. And the U.S. got wind of this, and they went down there with Admiral Byrd in the Antarctic summer of 1946-47. It was a six-month mission. They were going down there with heavy military equipment, including aircraft carriers, destroyers, helicopters, marines, and they called it a scientific expedition. Well, they were going to look for New Berlin, and they were confronted with a craft that came out of the water and sunk one of their ships. The Russians actually did a data dump right after the Soviet Union collapsed. Many great documents from the KGB became available to the highest bidder. And a lot of this information about New Berlin came out because they were also monitoring the situation. They sunk a boat called the Murdoch, one of our U.S. ships. Admiral Byrd called off the expedition. Excuse me. Came back 2 months after into the six-month expedition and said on record that we were confronted with an enemy who had a craft that could fly pole to pole. That is North Pole to South Pole. Well, I don't even know that there's a craft that they tell us these days that can do that, let alone in 1946. So this is very good information that New Berlin is a reality, and that not only did these paperclip Nazis come and infect America, they escaped to Argentina, like Hitler, who still remained the Führer of this underground government, but they also had their laboratory at base 322 in Antarctica. And in fact, in the mid-1950s, the U.S. did some nuclear explosions. They called them experiments. But the thinking on the street, and this is what I was talking to Dr. Sala about, is that they were trying to blow up this base once and for all. And in fact, those nuclear bombs were being detonated in this area of New Schwabenland that the Third Reich claimed in the 1930s by dropping little flags and medals on the area. Now it's called Queen Maud Land on maps, to give you an idea of where it is.
That's pretty fascinating stuff. I got to confess, I'm abysmally ignorant about all this Antarctic stuff, but it's sure fascinating. Let's take a look at the next here, slide number 11. We have about 30 minutes, a little less, to cover everything that remains, Brad.
Well, this is when I'm starting to move a little quicker through my presentation, and this is when I'm trying to get people to basically look at things in this country with a new perspective. And we all know the image of the farmer and his wife, who is it, Whistler, that did that famous painting,
American Gothic, the barn.
Yeah. American Gothic painting. Well, this is a top off of that, but if you look a little deeper, you see the symbols of the corporations behind there. And
I see Fox Exxon, Mountain. Chevron, and so forth.
Right. And so this is basically, I guess it should have been a slide more towards the end, but basically a call to action, and that is we need to be farmers and fertilize the thought of discontent in this country and hopefully start waking people up to the facts that the Fourth Reich is here, and it's in the face of these corporations that have basically taken over government and are now trying to take over the people and our sovereignty.
Those faces seem eerily familiar.
Well, that's that famous mask from V from Vendetta.
Yeah. Okay, here we're taking a turn back to the ancient civilization in your next slide.
Right. So here is this hieroglyphic from Egypt. And the blow up, you can see it looks like your typical gray alien. Once again, let's look at this in the big picture, because we have Sumerian carvings, Sumerian writings. This may be more of a page from the modern esoteric talk, and we should have me come back on again, and we can go a little deeper into this, and that is even our true human origins is not what it seems. And it would go to show that we have a lot of images through the ages for a very long time that shows the influence of extraterrestrials.
Brad, I think the theory, you know, that Earth was colonized by ancient astronauts requires an explanation where they came from, and were they colonized by even more ancient astronauts? And eventually we go back to a point where we have to have had an evolution. It seems a whole lot simpler just to have that have occurred here on Earth, given an unusual set of circumstances. But, you know, there are a lot of very fascinating alternative theories.
Right. And Mexico just did a huge artifact dump. They gave no explanation, but 15, 20 of these images, these clay tablets, which just like this Egyptian hieroglyphic, showed the classic gray alien. There's a quote from William Cooper, who was one of the first and foremost UFO researchers. He came out of Navy intelligence, and he had this quote from his very famous talk at the UFO Congress in 1989, where he said, "It has been learned that aliens have been manipulating humans through witchcraft, secret societies, magic, the occult, and religion for many millennia." And that has just struck a chord with me, because then this ties in the whole ET question. It also ties in the fact that we've been backward engineering this technology for quite a long time, and we have to keep it from secret from the public. I mean, this is the biggest secret. They call it the core secret, that even a president, as you mentioned in Bill Clinton's case, could not even access. But then who can access it, and how are they in control? And I think if we pull up the next slide, we'll see that contact not only has been made in the form of these crop circles, but these crop circles are also conveying information. This particular one is called the Milk Hill crop circle. It occurred about 10 years ago. Jim, this has over 200 circles. It's twice the size of a football field. And there's a group in the UK where most of these occur that has put up a bounty that says anybody that can replicate this will pay you £100, which is like $150,000 US. Nobody can do it. And the key to these crop circles, when you look really deeply into them, is that the stalks are never broken. The stalks are intermingled and then flattened. And if they are allowed to grow back, you see people are out here and they usually trample them down, they will grow back. Not only will they grow back, but they'll grow back bigger and stronger than the other crops around them. So there's
This is an extremely interesting example, which I've never seen before. The others are much simpler, and we even have, you know, locals who admit in pubs that they created them using wood attached to ropes. But this looks much too complicated for that, and very intrigued. Now, as far as the wager goes, Wolfgang Helbig, by the way, who's another student of Sandy Hook, has offered $10,000 to anyone who can substantiate the official account of Anna Blonza having shot 20 children and 6 adults at the elementary school there.
And let me guess, nobody's come to claim the prize.
As yet, no takers.
No takers. Hey, I would invite your listeners to go to my Facebook page called Esoteric Book Series. And just two or three posts ago, I posted a video of how crop circles are being made. And the video shows these orbs of light flying over. And these things are created within minutes, within a minute. Look at how elaborate that is. Look at the people in the middle circle there, how huge this thing is. Minutes.
That's very, very, very interesting, Brad. Really fascinating.
So again, this is along the lines of what I call this alternative narrative, that there's this storyline that we're just not being given the information about. And it's been my belief since day one that people have a right to know. It's not everybody that's going to seek this stuff out, just like your books on Sandy Hook in Boston. I mean, a lot of people are going to think this stuff is crazy. I get this feedback too. But when you look deeply into these issues, and here we go back to the importance of critical thinking. When you really look at how these crop circles are laid down and the intricacies of them and how the stalks are never actually broken like the guys. And I have some photos in Future Esoteric of clearly fakes. Sure. There's these guys, Dave and Doug, who said that they faked them. And sure, you can fake them, but not to this level of intricacy. And if you can create this milk hill, go ahead and collect your $150,000. They're willing to pay it if you can reproduce this thing.
$150,000.
U.S., yeah. That's 100,000 U.K. pounds.
Yeah, I love it. Should we look at the next?
Sure. And then this is basically taking us back to the question of who are we really? And it's back to the Hermetic axiom, as above, so below. And as you can see here, a close-up of a small leaf resembles the blood vessels in our body, resembles the river network of the Amazon. And it's sort of like the way the water spirals down our faucet. Kind of resembles the Milky Way galaxy. It's these patterns that repeat. That they weren't doing it right and basically walked out of that one, but they still went through with it anyways, and actually it had pretty disastrous results.
People being in the middle of the metal of the ship.
That's right. That's right. They shut it down.
Pretty weird stuff. Have you looked into that a bit Brad?
I have a chapter in Future Esoteric called Secret Sciences, and it very much was a real phenomenon, and it went awry. Many people died. Many people went insane, and some even jumped off the ship. The Duncan Cameron and his brother, who survived and lived to tell about it. Now this gets into time travel. It's a very complicated subject. I'm not sure we have time for the rest of the show to get into it.
We do have a few minutes to talk about it. I'd be rather fascinated in terms of your thoughts about it. I've been myself profoundly skeptical, but I can't claim to have actually studied it in a serious way that would enable me to arrive at reliable conclusions.
Okay, well, you could look at time as fabric. And that's how it's been described. And fabric can be torn. And that's basically what they did at the Philadelphia experiment. They put something into hyperspace. And this is basically the secret behind interstellar travel. This is another one of the great core secrets behind this backward engineered UFO technology. And that is, if you can get a craft or in this case, the USS Eldridge, with counter-rotating fields of magnetic energy that can get up to the speed of light or very close to it, you can actually get into this the space-time continuum that Albert Einstein was talking about. Now, it gets very theoretical at this point, and you have reason to be skeptical.
Well, according to what's known as the causal theory of time, time really is measurable in terms of periodic processes. I mean, I mentioned a day in terms of the Earth's rotation on its axis, a month of the and a year with the Earth rotating its in orbit around the sun. But there are atoms, cesium atoms, for example, that are highly reliable to create what are known as the atomic clocks, to measure with an incredibly high degree of precision the amount of time it takes for certain processes to occur. So on that theory, time wouldn't be so much a fabric as it would simply be a way of measuring, you know, the duration of processes from one point to another.
Sure. But understand that those atomic clocks are looking at time as we know it on this planet alone. That time on another planet could be quite different in many different ways. For example, our gravity is one way of measuring time. Our time around the sun is another way of measuring time. And these are subjective to our experience here on Earth. So if we're looking at sort of this unified way of connecting all the different sciences, the unified field theory, for example, we have to factor in everything that occurs in the universe, including what happens when we get up to this speed of light. And Einstein said that time will slow down, that the people who get up to the speed of light and maybe spend a little time there and then come back are going to be younger than everybody else on the planet. So there is this subjective way of looking at time and space in so much that it can be manipulated. And that's why this is a very complex subject, but I think the takeaway here is it can be manipulated. And if you look at time as a time track, okay, we think of history as very much these set events and this is what happened. But what if somebody, a time traveler, went back in time and then killed their own grandfather? Well, then they would cease to exist. But the answer to that is they would not be able to leave that time, that they would cease to exist when they were born, but that person who went back in time and killed their grandfather would be trapped there. So there are many of these kind of nuances and these little details that basically keep people in this idea that it just doesn't seem possible. But I think if you look at the bigger picture, it very much is possible.
Well, we get a lot of these themes in, you know, popular films like Terminator, not just Back to the Future, but, you know, similar themes. I'm fascinated to get your thoughts and reflections on the future, since you seem to me to be contemplating developments, trends, and so forth. Perhaps your last slide here, number 16, actually would be an appropriate object of contemplation as I invite you to expostulate about what you think, where we are now and where we're going if we don't do ourselves in by a nuclear war or contamination, radioactive contamination from Fukushima.
Right. Well, I think maybe your takeaway from this is that I'm a positive-minded person. I do believe in peace. I believe in nonviolence. And I think this moment in history, we're like walking on the edge of a razor. And that is, we could flip-flop into World War III and complete environmental degradation and a horrible future for future generations. Or we can get our stuff together. We can wake up as humanity. We can arrest these criminals who have perpetrated so many of these crimes. And we can reach the golden age. And this is very much my projection, what I think about every day. And this is what I think we can do together. because when we do work together and when we sync up our minds and we start seeing through this charade and realizing the false flags that have been perpetrated on us, the Constitution being eviscerated right before our very eyes, so many other crimes that should not be happening in this modern age but are. When we can wake up to this and we can hold these people accountable, let's say theoretically we can do this, civilian criminal court, and get these people arrested and on trial. I know a lot of people would love to see them just lynched at the first light pole they can find, but I think if we go that route, then we become as bad as the criminals themselves. But this is what a sociopath is relying on, that they are going to push this to the limit, and they're in it till the end game, until we come and arrest them. And they will push this envelope, and they have their underground bases that they can scurry to. They don't care about the planet. They will just destroy it if they have to, and maybe even escape on some of their sequestered backward engineered technology, some of these very advanced. So we have to cut them off before they do it. And if we can do that, this is what lies before us, this promise of a golden age. And that is, maybe we can have some way of meeting our space brothers and sisters in outer space. And there are benevolent ones that do want to see us evolve as a species. In closing, all I can say is, if we can come together and we can educate ourselves and be very critical in our thinking, and this is why I present my books, and I think this is why you present yours, we can make this world a better place. And I'm very optimistic that this is going to happen, and it will happen in our lifetime. And I hope, hopefully, it happens before they spring their next false flag, because the next one could be really nasty.
Brad, I found all this utterly fascinating. I'm very concerned about how we get out of our present quandary. We seem to have a president who's subverting the Constitution. I believe among his executive orders have been ones to no longer maintain our borders. I'm getting reports that the Homeland Security has been instructed to delete all the records about Muslims who have criminal records here on the United States and the like. It's very difficult to sort all these out, but it seems as though we're in a very, very bad place right now in the history of the United States.
Well, let's face it, 2016 is probably going to be one of the most crucial years in the entire history of this country. If we can get to the point where perhaps a Bernie Sanders becomes elected, maybe even Donald Trump, and the Kenyan is out of office, maybe we just averted a major landmine. I think they're going to try to spring something in this year, maybe even in this month. I'm hearing like the mid-February, late February time frame that something's going to happen. Maybe this financial time bomb, maybe even knocking out the power grid. These are things at their disposal that they would use as a very last resort. But again, the more people wake up, and we heard about the 2012 Olympics in the UK, maybe they were going to spring some kind of false flag. Sometimes they don't get what they want. And it's my understanding that this new world order is definitely behind schedule, that a lot of things should have happened by now that haven't, because they've been thwarted, because people are waking up. And so this is my great hope, and this is why I was so happy to speak with you tonight, Jim, is that we're both in the business of helping people become aware of this big picture and this big problem that we're facing. And if we can get through this, in the next year or two, and avert World War III in the Middle East, like Albert Pike predicted in the mid-19th century, then maybe we can do this. And maybe Putin is a good guy, and maybe he is working on behalf of the people of the world. And, you know, I like to think that there is hope. I like to think that there are good guys in the world, that not everybody has just been seduced by money and power to play this game. And
I can't believe how the rich and powerful in this country have so mismanaged the economy, that NAFTA has proven to be a catastrophe, the TPP would make matters even worse, Ostro warned us that giant sucking sound was all those jobs moving south. However much I may have admired Bill Clinton for taking us from enormous deficits to enormous projected surpluses, he brought us the TPP and the WTO, and it looks as though Obama is going to do him one better with a Trans-Pacific Partnership. You mentioned several aspects of that, including that it turns out genetically modified corn, for example, which Monsanto has developed, has an insecticide gene to defeat, you know, insects from damaging the crop to get a larger yield. But when it's fed to rats, it turns out that they become sterile within 6 months, Brad. Yeah. And this might be viewed as a good thing in relation to a world depopulation program, but it's certainly not one involving choice, the right to decide. In fact, the TPP would preclude even knowing the source of your food because it would no longer be possible to require that genetically modified foods be so labeled. And we're seeing indications from the NAFTA already and earlier that, you know, corporations that are defeated in their projects because of environmental safeguards, for example, are entitled to sue for the profits they would have made had they been able to go forward, so that a Canadian company is bringing an enormous lawsuit, $18 billion, as I recall, against the United States for defeating the XL pipeline. I mean, what kind of world are we going to be in?
Yeah. And that's why I say we're walking on the edge of the razor, because on the one side, it's a complete dystopian view. But what if we were able to wake people up to the point where we could get these criminals arrested? What if we were able to unleash free energy technology that could benefit the human race? There always has to be an alternative. You can't say that we're doomed, because we're not yet, fortunately. Until we're in that scenario, maybe not all this stuff will come to pass. And I have to have hope for the rest of my life and my family and my friends. And I want this world to go on. It's a beautiful place. I just came back from the Philippines a week ago, and it's a gorgeous planet we live on, and it's worth saving and it's worth preserving. And that's the eternal optimist in me, Jim. But you're right. We have to understand that there is a clear and present danger before us.
Brad, do we still have you there, my friend?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Just repeat that last set. My internet is showing the signs of instability. But Brad, look, it's been sensational having you here. Tell us more about your book series, your website, and all that, where people can learn more about your work and the books.
Yes, well, my books are available on Amazon or in Barnes & Noble or anywhere. Go to your independent bookstore and request them. It's Future Esoteric we've been talking about tonight, which is book two in the series. Modern Esoteric is also out. And I've also done several other travel guidebooks, a Sacred Places series on places around the world. And my website is cccpublishing.com. You can order books off the website. You can get signed copies from me through the website only. And I also have a YouTube channel called Esoteric Series, where you can see some of my talks that I've done and other interviews in the past that I've put up on there. And find me on Facebook, Esoteric Book Series, Sacred Places 108 Destinations, and CCC Publishing are pages that I manage on Facebook.
Well, Brad, I can't thank you enough for coming on to The Real Deal today. It's been a real pleasure from beginning to end.
Absolutely, Jim. We'll have to do it again because there's so much more we have to discuss.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal, thanking my special guest, Brad Olson, for being here, and all of you for watching.